So again, as we come to the close of 2013, you know, you look back on the previous year, and I don't know what you thought about 2013, but I think as a church, we had a blessed year, right? I mean, God did a lot of amazing things, but as I look at it, and as I prayed, as I sought the Lord, just to be honest with you, I feel like our church has been a little bit in neutral. Right, God has done some amazing things, brought new folks in. I mean, we've had a stretch of baptisms a month long and things like that. And every Sunday we've got someone new coming into the congregation and visiting with us. And God has just done amazing things. I think in our own hearts, you know, this year has just been a time of healing. You know, 2013 has sort of been a year of recovery for us, hasn't it? Right? I mean, 2011, 2012, they were tough years, and we just needed some time of breathing, some time of healing, some time of recovery. And God in His grace, I believe, has done that. 2013 has been a recovery year. He's given us just what we needed. And there have been tremendous blessings. Amen? 2013 has been full of blessings. We're probably all familiar with Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Is that famous passage that says this: there is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for everything under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And so, friends, as you think about that passage, I mean, God is saying that in His providence, there is a time for everything. You look back at 2013, there was nothing that happened by chance. That everything in the providence of God, God has brought about the good counsel of His will that we might have our joy and hope founded in Jesus Christ. Even the bad things, you look at the bad things in 2013, and all of those things were there by God's design to sharpen our hunger for heaven and to make us more like Jesus Christ. Now, again, in light of that passage, here's what I would say. As I think about our church, there's a time to be in neutral. But you know what? There's also a time to drive forward. There's a time to drive forward with ferocity, right? With like pedal to the metal. And I declare to you, as your pastor, as your brother, as a co-minister with you here at West Main Baptist Church, it's time, I believe, for us to take some new territory, right? There's a time to maintain what we've already been given, what we've already taken. There's also a time to take new territory. And that's the point I want to share with you this morning as we look here at the book of Joshua. It's time. It's time, y'all, to take some new territory here in our community, here in our surrounding community, in our families, in our homes, in our schools, in our jobs. This entire fall, man, I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord. I want a fresh vision. I want to be a pastor who doesn't just maintain. I want to be a pastor that helps us as a congregation grow and progress and get into new territory. That's what I want. I don't want to just be a maintenance guy. I want a guy who's going to take the church to the next level. And I know that you want to too, right? I mean, you guys want to be part of something bigger than yourselves. Something amazing. Something that's going somewhere. And I know you do. You want to be part of that. You want excitement. And there's nothing more excitement than to see God giving us victory and triumph throughout the community. And I pray, as I've just been praying the last fall, all out through here into the winter, I believe just clearly from the Lord that 2014 is going to be a year to push forward. To push forward, to take new territory, to strategize, to work, to grow, to plan, to dream. We need a fresh vision,
a fresh vision for Alexandria and its surrounding communities. And there are two thoughts, and I've shared this with the deacons several times. They're probably sick of hearing me saying it. But just two things that just keep coming back to in my head. And I hope, I want to get them into you. I want to begin to get soaked into your body, into your mind, into your heart. But here are the two things. Number one, I want West Main Baptist Church to be as big, as biblically healthy as it can be. Right? I want us to be as biblically healthy as that can be. I don't know what that means yet. But it means that I'm willing to ask questions. It means that I'm able to that I'm willing to probe and to see where do we need to change? Where do we need to grow? What do we need to do to go to the next level to be as faithful as we can be to what God has set forth in His Word for a New Testament church? I want us to be that church. But secondly is this one here. Not only do I want West Main Baptist Church to be as healthy as it can be, I want West Main Baptist Church to be the church in our region that Christian people want to come to. Amen? Notice I didn't say that lost people want to come to. I mean, I want lost people to come, don't get me wrong. But so often, guys, churches, they get off saying, we'll do anything to win the lost. And I want to win the lost. But I want to be faithful, right, to what God has said a church should be. So I want to be a place that Christian people want to be a part of. I want to be a place where they can get plugged in, where they can make a difference, where they can be grown in their faith and all those things. So I want West Main Baptist to be the church in our region that Christian people want to come to. And when Christian people want to come to it, guess what? Lost people want to come too. And they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to get saved. All those amazing things are going to happen. And so as I've dreamed about new territory, spiritually, you know what? Maybe even physically. You know, I've dropped a few, you know, hints to some folks, you know, about, man, what about if we bought some land? Or is this something crazy, right? I am dreaming. Do y'all ever dream about this church? Do y'all ever think what could be? Or are you just come in here and just sort of pass the time? I know you don't do that. I know that you dream about this church and what God might be able to do through it. So right now, in this message, I want to just give you the authority or the right or the privilege to dream. Begin to dream, because in 2014, we're going to dream. We're going to see what God is going to do with us as a congregation. But as I've dreamed about taking new territory physically, maybe, and definitely spiritually, the Lord has reminded me of Joshua and the children of Israel. Here in Joshua, the book of Joshua, as we think about, you know, it being time to take new territory here in 2014, I believe that we can learn a lot from these folks right here in the stories in the book of Joshua. So I want to look at a few things. As we talk about it's time to take new territory, the first thing we see from this book is that we need to remember God's command to enlarge the kingdom. We can't forget that. God's command to enlarge the kingdom. The book of Joshua begins with that very thing, a call to take new territory. Tony read here for us verse 1, 2, and 3 a moment ago. But we're going to read just a little bit further. We're going to read through verse 6. It says, let's start at verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. And so God sort of sets out Joshua there, and he's basically painting a map, isn't he? He's saying, this territory, I mean, it's going to go all the way to the Euphrates, and it's going to go up here, and it's going to go down here, and you're going to have this entire territory. He's given them land. And I want you guys, just for a moment, in your heads, picture us as a church just sort of standing at the border of our community here and looking out into it. And God saying, I'm giving you this. I'm giving you this home. I've given you this street. I've given you this building, this business. I've given this all to you so that you could come in and influence and grow for the kingdom of God. That's what God was doing here as they were on the outskirts of the promised land. He was looking into it and saying, look around, it's all yours. I've given it to you. And I believe here in 2014, to me anyway, and I believe to you as well, I pray to you as well, that God is saying, I've given it to you. It's yours. Claim it. Go get it for the kingdom of God. We know this is the case, don't we? I mean, I'm not just taking a warrant here from the Old Testament. I mean, this is New Testament truth. We know clearly our marching orders that God has given us the entire world as our territory to win people for Jesus Christ. You know well the Great Commission there in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. I'm going to read it for you this morning, but you know this so well. Matthew 18 through 20. But notice how it begins. Jesus is talking to them. Notice how it begins. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. What does that mean? Jesus is saying, it's mine. And because it's mine, it's yours. That's what he's saying. The authority is his. It's his. The Father has given it to him. And by extension has given it to us. And then comes the commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And what we have here, guys, is God's command to enlarge the kingdom. I know we as Southern Baptists, we give a lot of lip service to this. I mean, if you're ever on a convention platform, if you don't say something about the Great Commission, like, they won't ask you back, it seems like, right? I mean, it's just every other breath. But you know what? Sometimes we can talk something to death that it becomes white noise. Right? We just become so accustomed to it, thinking about it and hearing about it. But we need that fresh vision, guys, for the Great Commission. We got to renew ourselves to it, right? Remember that God's commanded us to do this and let it energize us. And I pray that it will. Remember God's command to enlarge the kingdom. We see that right here in the book of Joshua. But secondly, we learn from Joshua and the children of Israel that number two, we must dedicate yourself to the mission. We must dedicate ourselves to the mission. Joshua didn't just lead them in the promised land and said, go do whatever you want to do. That's not what he did, right? He had a time of dedication. Look here with me at Joshua chapter 5. They crossed over the Jordan, and then they had a time of dedication, a time of consecration. Look at it with me here in verse 1, Joshua 5, verse 1. We'll read down through the 9th verse. Joshua 5, verse 1 through 9. Now it came about when all of the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard how the Lord God had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. Verse 2. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives, and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. So Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. This is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished. because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that He would not let them see the land, which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Their children whom He raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them along the way. Now when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they had healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. And Gilgal means rolling. That's what that means. He's rolled away the shame. He's rolled away the reproach. But you see what they're doing here? Before they go in and take this new territory, before they go in and conquest the land, they're taking a time of dedication, a time of consecration. And you know what? The first of the year is always like this, isn't it? Right? I mean, don't y'all every year, how many of y'all are already working on your resolutions? Good. All right, we got one. Okay, two. Rest of you, they'll come along this week. You can't help yourself but make some goals, because just when the calendar rolls around, it gets you thinking, doesn't it? You say, man, where did I go wrong this year? And what did I do right? And what can I do better? And what do I need to stay away from? I want to just ask you, when you consider what is God going to have me to do in 2014, I pray that you, as one of your resolutions or just one of your just commitments, even if you don't write them down, that you would dedicate yourself to the mission of God. Just give yourself to it, guys. Give yourself. Too often we hold ourselves back, don't we? Right? I mean, just ask yourself, what more could I do for the Lord? Because, guys, He's done abundantly for you. You couldn't serve Him enough, could you? There's no way you could pay Him back. And you're not trying to pay Him back. There's no way you could anyway. But you're not trying to pay Him back. You're trying to glorify Him. You're trying to honor Him. And I pray in this coming year that you would dedicate yourself to the mission of God, just like they were doing here, right? They were dedicating themselves to the mission. They were dedicating themselves to Yahweh, who is our God as well. And I pray that you would dedicate yourself as you come into this new year. But third, we learn here from Joshua and the children of God that we've got to expect some external and internal hindrances. We have to expect some external and internal hindrances, some hindrances from outside the camp and from some inside the camp as well. Let's think about some of the external hindrances here that Joshua met. Joshua and the children of Israel here, they faced constant external hindrances, didn't they? I mean, everywhere they turned, there was a people. As they tried to take a new territory, there were people standing against them. Everywhere they turned. I mean, there were people who already lived in this land. They already had cities and houses and wells and cattle and all these things. So everywhere they turned, there were people standing against them. And we see in chapter 9 that the Gibeonites, they tricked Israel into forming a covenant with them that they would not kill them, basically. The Gibeonites were right there. They were in the land. But they dressed up and made it look like they had ridden from a far way away. And when they came up to Joshua, they said, Joshua thought, oh my goodness, these guys have come from far away, because look at their shoes and look at their horses and look at all these things. They had made themselves look like they had traveled for hundreds of miles to come see Joshua and all the great things that Israel had done. But really, they were right there next door. They were the next people that Joshua was going to have to kill to take the land. And so that was an external hindrance. And Joshua was tricked. He signed a covenant with them. He cut a covenant. And those people stayed in the land. They didn't get kicked out. And it caused them problems later on. We see in chapters 10 through 14. All throughout there was opposition that they faced as they went through the land. Every chapter you read about a new set of kings who have come out to fight against Israel and to stop Israel. Guys, listen, there are going to be external hindrances as we come into this new year, as we try to take new territory. It's going to come from outside. Because let's be honest, people love their sin. They love their sin. They want to stand in opposition to us. Everywhere we turn, there are going to be people standing against us. And when we speak the name of Jesus, there'll be someone there to mock us. There'll be someone there to come behind us and to teach false things, to turn them away. Just a few weeks ago when we were preparing for the fall revival, several of us got together and we said, we're going to canvass the entire city of Alexandria, invite people to the revival. We were out that day, kind of taking new territory, hopefully. And guess what? As we had put one in the door, a Jehovah's Witness came behind us and put one in the door too. I was like, no! And sometimes we got there after them or whatever. But guys, listen, spiritual warfare is real, right? That was a perfect example of spiritual warfare, just physically going on that day. One false doctrine that will lead people to hell in the Jehovah's Witnesses, and then one true gospel that will lead people to life. But there's going to be hindrances. People are going to stand against us and oppose us. And we have to be ready for that. And you know good and well the devil doesn't want to give an inch, does he? He doesn't want to give an inch. And so we're going to be fought. We're going to be not possessed by evil, but we will certainly be oppressed by evil. You know it'll come. The forces of hell will get all stirred up when we start to gain ground and all these things. We've got to be ready for that. We've got to expect some of that so that our hearts will not grow weary. Our hearts won't get frightened away. So we got to expect some of those external things to be there. But you know what? There ain't just sinners outside the camp. There are sinners inside the camp. You're looking at one of them, right? Internal hindrances are going to come in that form as well, here within our, as we try to take new territory. There's going to be something, I don't know what it is, I pray nothing, but I'm just expecting, because that's how things go, that there's going to be something internally that's going to well up, that's going to try to hinder us and knock us off track. And we saw that even here in Joshua. Let's go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 here is one that you probably know well. Joshua 6 is just before, as we look at this here in Joshua, just before God tore down the walls of Jericho. Joshua gave these instructions. Look at it with me here in verse 16. Joshua 6, 16 through 19. It says, at the time when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be under the ban, it and all that in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel cursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall not go in to the treasury of the Lord. That's what God said. But guess what? One man named Achan didn't listen, right? He was an internal hindrance. He was within the camp. He was part of the children of Israel. But he didn't listen here. He took, when he was in there, flip with me over to Joshua 7, verse 21. Well, after they had slew the people of Jericho and got to looking around, Achan saw a few things that he thought might look pretty good in his bank account. He took a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight. And as a result, you probably know this well, Israel was terribly defeated. Terribly defeated when they tried to take the city of Ai, the next city after Jericho. As they came into it, God's anger burned against them because Achan had not listened to God. And it cost Israel greatly, and it cost Achan even more. Go down to verse 24 here in chapter 7. Look what happens to Achan. Of course, we read up here in chapter 7, verse 4, let's start in verse 4 of chapter 7. See what happens to the people of Israel. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there to Ai, and they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as the Cherubim and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Achan's sin costed the people of Israel. Right? They were on a mission to take the promised land. And Achan's sin cost them. But it didn't just cost Israel. It dearly cost Achan. Go back down to verse 24 with me here in chapter 7. Look what it cost Achan. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. That's the valley of trouble. That's what Achor means. Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. And so I want to say this to you. Is there going to be an Achan among us? I say that to myself. Am I going to be Achan? Am I going to be the one who's going to follow my flesh and derail the progress and the mission that God has given us? That's going to get our eyes off progress and get them internally focused. Am I going to be the Achan? Are you going to be the Achan? I pray not, man. Guard your hearts against sin, because while you and I are responsible for our sin, the consequences are felt by every one of us. We're a family. We're knit together. We're a body. And I don't know about you, but when something hurts on this side of my body, the other side kind of hurts too. It suffers. Don't be aching. And I pray I won't be aching either. Keep our hearts guarded against sin here in this coming year so that we won't have the mission derailed. The fourth thing we see here in the book of Joshua and from the children of Israel that we got to do if we're going to go forward, if we're going to take new territory, is we've got to prepare ourselves to work hard. Prepare yourself to work hard. If there's going to be new territory taken, you got to work for it. Here's the truth, y'all. God had given them this land, hadn't He? There's no doubt about that. God had given them this land. It was theirs. He told us in chapter 1, "I've given this land, I've promised it to you." But the truth is, they had to take it, didn't they? They had to. They couldn't just sit in their tents. They couldn't just hang out in the camp. They had to get out there. They had to take the promised land for themselves. They had to possess it. They had to. Listen, I'm a strong believer in the sovereignty of God, but I see in Scripture right along with the sovereignty of God, man's responsibility, that God is going to work through us to give us what He's promised. And listen to me, He's promised us the entire world. He's promised us souls. But not a soul will be saved if we just sit in our camp. We got to get out there. We got to get in the hedges and the highways and the byways that we might win someone to Jesus Christ. That means that we've got to work hard. I believe that God has given us Alexandria. I believe that. I believe He's given us Brush Creek and Watertown and Liberty and everything in between and outside of that as well. God has given that to us if we will work to possess it. If we'll work to possess it. You know, the Apostle Paul, he knew this well. The Apostle Paul, he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. He's talking about all the apostles. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10. Paul says this, "For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." But notice this, here it is. "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored, but I worked, but I sweated, blood, sweat, and tears, even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God in me." As you put yourself out there, as you put forth effort, as you work to sow seeds of the gospel, to see a harvest, God's going to work through you, but you've got to get out there and make yourself available for it. You've got to work. Guys, and gospel ministry is hard. And I'm preaching to Ben Simpson this morning as much as I'm preaching to you. You've got to get out there. I've got to get out there. I've got to be willing to put in some awkward situations. I've got to be willing to take some of my free time that I could be picking the guitar or whatever and get out there that we might see a harvest. I've got to work hard. You've got to work hard. If we're going to see a harvest, we've got to work hard together. We just sang to the work, to the work. And it says in that song, there's work for everybody. Amen, there is. There's work for us. God has prepared good works for us to walk in. And I pray that we would gladly walk in them. And finally this morning, as we think about taking new territory, we see from Joshua and the children of God that we must never forget that without God, it will be impossible. Guys, without God, ain't nothing happening. To put it in the vernacular, right? Nothing's going to happen unless God shows up. We can beat on every door. We can do random acts of kindness. We can have revivals and invite people and all these things. But unless God shows up, it's going to be impossible. So what does that mean? That means we got to be on our face begging God, God, come, work, do, move, convict, bring to life. Go with me to Joshua chapter 5. And I want you to see this. You know this passage well. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture here in closing. But I want you to see this, what God can do. Verse 13 through 15, there in chapter 5. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his side, or drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the hosts of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's hosts said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Why did I read that? Because it said that God was going to fight with them. That God was there. God showed them the support and the power and the might. He said, "The angelic hosts are with you." And I declare to you guys, the angelic hosts are with us. We are the people of God. And God desires to take new territory through us, with us, using us. And He's going to send the power of heaven. Not only angelic armies, but the Holy Spirit inside of us. God Himself inside of us. That which Joshua never had like we have. We have that. We have that inside of us. The Lord was fighting for them, alongside them. And I declare to you this morning, the same is true for us as we go take new territory. Guys, you ever go to walk up to a house and knock on the door and all of a sudden fear just grips you? He says time and time again in Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." Why? Because you're a tough guy? Because you're a tough girl? Because the Lord is with you. Because the Lord is with you. Without God, it's impossible. But look what happens here. I love this story because it shows the God that we have. Look at chapter 6, verse 1, and we'll just read down to close. "Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out, no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I've given Jericho into your hand with its kings and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days, and 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns around the ark before the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat." and the people will go up every man straight ahead. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to him, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. Then he said to the people, go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the Ark of the Lord. And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. Verse 9, the armed men went before the priests and blew the trumpet, and the rear guard came after the Ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout. Then you shall shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once. Then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Now Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, and they did so for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. Only that day they marched around the city 7 times. That seems crazy. Could you imagine that battle plan? Lord, how are we going to take the city? Just walk around it a few times and do what I tell you to do. Don't say anything, just blow horns. You know, just walk with the Ark around. Okay, God. What? I thought we were going to like do some fighting here. No, I'm going to fight for you because it's impossible without me, the Lord says. Look what happens here, verse 20 and 21. This is the seventh day. So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpet. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Church, listen to me. God has called us to do something that's just as foolish as that. To the world, it's foolish for us to go preach the gospel to people, to tell people that they're sinners, that they can be forgiven of their sin if they only turn from sin and believe on Jesus, and they'll have life everlasting. When we say that, it's as foolish to people as those that were in the city of Jericho. Look at these idiots. They don't stand a chance. They're fools, they said. And people are going to say the same thing to you and me as we get out there and take the gospel. But know this. When God shows up, walls are going to come down. Right? People who have been hard, who have hated God, who have loved their sin, when God shows up in the power of Jesus Christ, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, walls come down and people get saved. People that you thought were a fortified city, that there was no hope of light getting into their darkness, God shows up and they're flooded with light. Why? Because God is almighty. We don't go in our power. We're not going to take new territory in our own strength. We're going to do it by the power of God, because without Him it's impossible. But with Him, church, all things are possible. I don't know about you. Man, I'm excited about 2014. I'm excited about what God's going to do. I love being your pastor. I love serving alongside you. I'm excited about what God is going to do here. I don't know exactly where God's going to take us, but I do know this. God is calling us to go forward. He's calling us to take new territory. Here's the question, though. Are you ready to go forward? It's time. It's time.